82. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me until someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, Old Testament book of Jonah. One of the most contested books of the Bible by people who consider themselves to be scholars. I don't consider them to be that. I would have to say they're unbelievers is what they are, because Jesus said that Jonah wrote these things and he gave his own testimony to the prophet Jonah. And my purpose this morning will be to confirm that even more, that Jonah is a book about my Savior Jesus Christ. I hope to persuade you, okay, in that direction this morning. I've read the whole book through twice now before I started preaching. But this morning, though, I do want to read the first chapter, and then we're going to deal with chapter 2 this morning. And chapter 2, some of your Bibles might tell you what it is. It's the prayer of Jonah while in the whale's belly, okay? But let's just start off. I'll read the first chapter. It kind of gives us an understanding of things. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their witness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I just want to add something there. I haven't said this in the previous messages. When it says that Jonah paid the fare thereof, tells me that he had some money on him. Okay. And he paid the fare, and instead of being one of the workers on the ship, he was a passenger on the ship. The other guys, they were part of the sailor part of the ship, keeping it going and so forth. But he's just a passenger running away from his responsibility as a prophet of the Lord. All right, continue on. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. By the way, even that's a little bit of a picture of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did the same thing. Remember when the disciples were in the boat and the storm came up? What was he doing? He was sleeping. And they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Remember that song, "Master, the tempest is raging. Carest thou not that we perish?" Well, I would have to say Jonah is a contrast now. Jonah, carest thou not that Nineveh will perish? Carest thou not? You're supposed to go and preach to that city. Carest thou not? Well, nevertheless, verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Oh, Jonah, you aren't getting away with this. Here by chance the men take lots and it falls right on Jonah. Do you think the Lord is behind the lot there? Okay, I think so. And he caused it to fall right on his servant Jonah. There it is. Jonah, you're the reason. Verse 8. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." My God made the sea that's in trouble right now. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. If you remember last week, I talked about men trying by works to save themselves instead of taking the grace of God, which is throw Jonah in and you'll be all right. Just take God at his word. People, if you're not saved and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't know where you'd spend eternity if you died today, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He died for your sins. He did all the work already. And you might say, "Well, I'm going to try and row harder and, you know, row my boat ashore and I'll get there somehow, some way." No. Trust Jesus. They threw Jonah over, verse 14, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, 'We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee.'" So, you know what? These men were quite impressed with the testimony of Jonah. As bad off as he really was, they knew the God of heaven was involved here. So they go on. So they took up Jonah, verse 15, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. That's the only way your stormy life is going to cease its raging, is when you come God's way unto salvation. Just as they threw Jonah over, they gave his life that their lives might be spared. So Jesus died on the cross for your sin, so that you might be saved from the storm of life and have everlasting life. And it says, verse 15, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Oh, boy. Oh, those men feared the Lord. All right, that's the story up till now. Now, let's change over and let's look at the man Jonah for a while here. Let's look at Jonah. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Understand that the word for great fish in the Hebrew does not necessarily mean it was simply the species of whale, although the New Testament does use the word whale. And that's up to the translators, however they wanted to translate that. They say whale in the New Testament. But this was a great fish. It could be like a sea monster, all right? God prepared a great fish. This fish was special, okay? This fish can swallow a man without chewing him up before he swallows him down. He could swallow a man. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. All right. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah's prayer is what we're going to look at now. In verse 1, the thing we see here about Jonah was about his God. Jonah was a man of God, and no matter where he was, he knew he could speak to his God. How about that? Even out of the fish's belly, he could still speak and talk to his God. He was a man of God, no matter where he was. And I'll say the same thing to you. Even if you might be running away from God and your responsibility before God, you can talk to him at any time. And I'll say this. If you are running away from God, he's chasing after you, okay? He's right behind you, as he was with Jonah. And he's going to bring you back unto himself. That's what he always does. He loves his children, and he seeks to bring you close to himself. And I'm talking about the Father now. The Father who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for us. That Father loves you, Christian, and he won't let you go. And I'll say this, at any time you can talk to him. Jonah, by the way, he could speak to his God no matter where he was, in prison, before kings, and you see this in the Bible, in your home, even if you're sick, in caves, in sickness, in the midst of a battle, you can cry out unto the Lord. Crisis times, and even the belly of an animal, you can talk to your God. Now, Jonah knew God as his own God. Look, verse 1. Now, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God. He knew him as his own God. How do you know God? You know what? It's not good enough to know a God. Well, I believe there is a God. Well, that's fine. I'm glad you do, but that's not enough. It's not enough to know God just as a God or a door or a shepherd or a way, but you need to know your God this way. My God. He's my God. You need to know him as my door into everlasting life. My shepherd who will guide me and lead me in the way I ought to go. He is my way into life eternal. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need to know him as your way, not simply as a way. You know, the 23rd Psalm, a lot of people know it. The Lord is what? My shepherd. Most people, though they say it that way, understand it in their mind this way. The Lord is a shepherd. And I could possibly not want if he was mine. No, you need to know him this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You need to know him that way. Let me ask you, do you know God that way? Do you know the Father and the Son that way? If not, you need to come to know him in that way. He needs to be your own, and we often say it this way, personal Savior. He's not just a Savior for everybody else. He needs to be yours. And you know what? In order for that to be true, you have to admit you need a Savior. You need to say, I am the sinner for whom he died, and I need his salvation. And then call out, as sinners need to do, admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Did you hear me say that? Personal Savior. And he will be your personal Savior. All right, let's see what Jonah says here. He prayed, verse 2. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Well, he certainly had an affliction, so he's down here in a whale's belly here. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and thy floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. How's he going to do that? He's down here in the belly of a fish. I'll look to your temple. Well, verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. I believe this is describing the moment when the men in the boat picked him up and cast him into the sea. He went down. And from all the indications, he drowned to death. He drowned in the water, right? It compassed his soul. And then this great fish swallowed him up. And while he's in the belly of this fish, he cries out unto the Lord. Now, he's dead. He's dead. Which tells me, folks, there is life after death. When you die, that doesn't end it all. You know, some want to think that way. Well, you know, if I just kill myself, that ends all my problems. I'll tell you what, that just begins your problems. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, your problems just begin. You need to prepare now for eternity, for you may not get the opportunity that Jonah gets. Jonah's going to get an opportunity to come back to life. And I told you, I want to persuade you that Jonah is a type of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he too, after he hung on that cross and paid the price for our sins, died. And the Bible indicates that he went down into the heart of the earth, into hell there. Now, if you remember a message a few weeks ago, there are two parts to the place of hell. There's a paradise side to it, and then there is a torment side of it. You remember the story that Jesus gave, and I don't believe it was just a fairy tale. I believe it's a real story, for he says, a certain man, a certain rich man. And he gives the name of the other man, Lazarus, who was the poor beggar, who was laid at the certain rich man's gate. And he was full of sores to the point that dogs came and licked his sores. That's how bad things were for him. The rich man, he had everything a man could have. But the Bible says they both died. And Lazarus was carried off into Abraham's bosom. And it would have reference to his soul and spirit being carried off to that place in the heart of the earth where those who have died up to that point were residing. Abraham was one of them there. The rich man died, and in hell, it says, he lift up his eyes being in torment. So he was in that part of hell where the fire is, and there's torments there. And I'm not going to try and sugarcoat that and say, well, you know what, there really is no real place called hell. There is a real place called hell. It's a fiery place, a tormenting place, and I'm not going to try and make it any less than that. It's a bad place. And then while he was in hell, they had buried his body. But in hell, he could talk. There is life after death. I mean, either that's the truth or the Lord Jesus Christ is just simply a fairy tale teller. No, he was telling the truth. In hell, he lifted up his eyes and he could see Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Now, they're both down there in the place called hell. But there's two compartments, obviously, to it. One a good place, one a bad place. And he says, oh, if he could just dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham talks back to him. Now, Abraham's from the Old Testament, long before the story that Jesus gave. See, there's life after death. And Abraham says, son, remember, thou in thy lifetime, you had everything you could have. Lazarus didn't have anything. And now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside this, there's a great gulf between us, and he can't come to you and you can't come to him. Wow. So in this condition, and I believe Jonah would also be probably on the, not probably, I should say, I know he would be on the good side of hell, all right? But in that condition, and his body being in the great fish's belly, able to still talk and speak and pray, he does. But I'm going to warn you, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, don't think you're going to get a circumstance like Jonah has. Because let me just go ahead of our passage. Go to verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Don't think that's going to happen to you. God was doing a great thing here this day in the life and death of Jonah. I'll say the life, death, and resurrection of Jonah. Because Jonah's death depicts the death of our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Out of the belly of hell, a place where all the dead went in the Old Testament, and the people in that place waited until Jesus died and came down to take them to heaven. You know, there in the good part of hell is Abraham, there's Lazarus, and all the rest of the saints of the Old Testament. Pick anyone you want, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they were all there up until the time that Jesus died. Then what happened? I would take you to a passage. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. I want you to see something here. I'll start reading while you hurry up and get there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. Now who ascended up on high? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he rose up from the grave and he ascended back to heaven. He led captivity captive. There you go. All the Old Testament saints were in captivity in that place called paradise, also referred to as Abraham's bosom. And Jesus went down there after he died, and it says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? There's a verse that tells you Jesus did descend down there. Now, what happened? When he died on the cross, they took his body and put it in the tomb. Well, what's this? He descended his soul and spirit descended down into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went down there and he ascended back up out of there, and along with him he led captivity captive. And I believe all those Old Testament saints, Abraham and that Lazarus in the story I just gave you, are all right now with the Lord up in heaven. Oh, not their body. Their bodies are still in the grave, but their soul and spirit's with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that when he comes back in the rapture, the Bible says he's going to bring the dead with him. He's going to bring them with them. And then it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And up out of the grave, their bodies are going to come, and their soul and spirit that's coming with the Lord when he comes back are going to be joined back together. And then the words that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that which is corruptible is going to be changed into incorruption. That which is mortal or able to die is going to be changed to be immortal, never able to die again. Oh boy. What a day that's going to be. Looking forward to it. Are you ready for these events that the Bible talks about? Are you ready? This is what Jesus came to do, to prepare you to get ready. And he has an Old Testament story here to give you a perfect type of how he's going to go about and do it. And 3 days and three nights, Noah, look there in chapter 1, verse 17, look at the very end. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Didn't Jesus even say when they asked him for a sign, I'm not going to give you any sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he goes back to this passage right here. And he says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, as it's translated for us in our King James Bible, as he was 3 days and three, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And then what's going to happen? Just as that fish vomited up Jonah, Jesus is going to conquer the grave. And I want to say this. The only reason that God could instruct that great fish to vomit Jonah up out and right onto the land was because he knew that someday the day is going to come in which his son is going to come to this earth and die on that cross and pay for all sin, including Jonah's. Doesn't the Bible say the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through a great fish. No, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to conquer that grave. And in this just little incident here, God the Father could tell that fish, give up Jonah. Give him back. No, wait a minute. You know, the grave, that's the end. When you go to the grave, that's the end. Unless God intervenes and conquers the power of the grave. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? You know, it's gone in Christ Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Victory over the grave. Now, I know Jesus hadn't come and died yet and everything, but the only reason Jonah was allowed back out of that death situation is because God knows someday his son is going to conquer the power of the grave. And this was just a little incident where God shows his power even over the grave. For you know that Jonah didn't live forever. He's not still around. He ended up dying again. He's buried somewhere. But God just wants us to know, I have power over the grave. And it would be through Jesus Christ. Now, let's read on now. I think I read down through verse 6. I'm at verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Now listen, even from the great fish's belly, Jonah quotes Scripture. Quotes Scripture. As it says, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." And that's because he knows the Scriptures say, and David wrote, "Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to see corruption." And he's quoting Psalm 16:10, which says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Now, David died, and he went down into that hell place, of course, the good side of hell. And that's where David is. And yet David wrote, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." You can check that out in Psalm 16, verse 10, if you want to. Then who is that about? That's about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In that psalm, David is talking about not himself, but about someone else whom God will allow to not see corruption. Verse 6 ends, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Wow. Whew. Jonah realized he was cast out of thy sight, just like Jesus when he said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, Jonah deserved to die. Okay, if you really want to see it, hey, that guy was really in big trouble with God. If anybody deserved to die, Jonah did. By the way, all of us deserve to die. But my Savior Jesus Christ did not deserve to die. When my Savior came, he willingly laid down his life. It wasn't just forced from him. He laid it down and he said, "Look, I can lay it down and I can take it up again." And amen, what a Savior. You know what? We've got the greatest message there is ever to be heard in all the world. All the religions of the world have their gods and everything, but none of them have a resurrected Savior. None of them have that. Ours is unique to any you can think of. Oh boy. And we have cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science. They pretend that they are within the Christian realm of things, but you know what? When you ask them who Jesus Christ really is, it takes away from what he can do for us if he is what they say he is. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that he's equal with the Father, therefore he's not God. Folks, if he's not God, he cannot be a holy sacrifice to die in my place on that cross. The Christian Science, they believe all matter is evil, and therefore Jesus did not take upon himself a real physical body. Oh, yes, he did. Without sin. That's what makes him different from all of us. We're born with physical bodies from the cradle to the grave that are bothered with sin. My Savior was born of a virgin, and the body that God prepared for him is without sin, and he walked among us and lived among us. He revealed that he was very human and very God at the same time by the miracles that he did. Walking on water, making more bread out of just a few loaves and two fishes. He's God. He raised the dead while he was here. He conquered the grave. He showed that he can conquer the grave. What a Savior our Savior Jesus Christ is. How much better even than Jonah? Jonah's just a type. That's all he is. He's just a type. But he definitely is being used by God here as a beautiful type of the one and only Savior that you need Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, he says, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. And 16:10 says, for neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. You know, this is very important. And we're getting this out of Jonah. All this about the resurrection, we're getting out of Jonah here. The importance of the resurrection. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. Let's do that quickly if you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read just a few verses here to you. How important is the resurrection? How important is it that we have an example in the Old Testament of a man coming back from the dead, Jonah. And that Jesus even says, just as Jonah was 3 days, three nights, so I will. But I'm going to come up. I'll conquer death. I'll rise up. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes to us, now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, some of the cults want to claim to be Christian, say that Jesus just swooned. He really didn't die. And really what happened when he was in the coolness of the grave, it kind of revived him. No, my folks, he died. He died. He paid the price for sin, which is the wages of sin is death. He paid for it in full, completely. In fact, let me say, even more than necessary, he paid the price. More than necessary. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, not only is Jesus a good Savior, he's the only Savior and the best Savior. And even if no one trusts him as their personal Savior, he still pays the price for all of us. Isn't that something? Oh, I'm glad that you and I have trusted him as Savior. If you're listening to me on the internet or you're here today and you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to do it. It's the best thing you can ever do. And there is no one better than the Lord Jesus Christ to do this. All right, back here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, I could go back there to verse 13. I'm sorry, I'm such a long-winded preacher. But look here at verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead. You know what, if this never happened to Jonah, then is Christ not risen either? But if it did happen to Jonah, then Jesus Christ did have to conquer the grave because, hey, wait a minute, you can't just pick Jonah to get out of it and leave all the rest of us in it. No, but I can take Jonah out of it because I have someone who's going to conquer this whole problem of the grave, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Preacher Freeman, you might as well just shut up, close your book, and go home. But if not, then you stay right there, Preacher Freeman. Open that book and preach it. Because it's not in vain, and your faith is also vain. It says, verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And you know, you could read the rest of that passage. The importance of the resurrection is without the most important doctrine there is. In verse back in Jonah now, 2, verses 7 through 9, Jonah returns to the Lord, trusting the sacrifice. Notice down there in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now wait a minute, Jonah. You don't even have a animal sacrifice there, unless you're going to sacrifice the animal that you're sitting inside of. You don't want to do that. You'll be cooked. No. You don't even have a priest available. You don't have a temple available. Earlier he says, I'll pray toward the temple, right? You don't even have those things. Well, what do you mean you have a sacrifice of thanksgiving to give? The only way that can work for him is if there is a sacrifice somewhere, somehow, say it for Jonah's sake, because he's long before Christ, sometime there has to be a sacrifice that will pay for his sin that he might be okay with God. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. There it is, folks. Salvation is of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you who that is. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And the him in the whole passage is Jesus Christ. I'm so glad we sang some of those songs this morning. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And Jason sang, what was that song? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I got to close with Psalm 31. Go there. We're going to close with this. I'll read and say a few comments, but we're going to finish up right here at Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Jonah says, "Those who trust in lying vanities forsake their own mercy." Forsake their own mercy. You know, if you're trusting in lying vanities, here's one of them. Oh, I'll work my way to heaven. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as some other people are. You're kind of hoping that you'll squeeze into heaven somehow. That's a lying vanity you're trusting in. Well, I was baptized. Hey, baptism doesn't save you. That's just a picture of your salvation that you've already got. You shouldn't get baptized till then. That's why we don't baptize babies. But they that trust in lying vanities, it said that back there in Jonah chapter 2. Forsake their own mercy. Well, I want to read to you a psalm that I think answers that. Psalm 31. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit." Who else said that? Mm-hmm. When? On the cross. Mm. Folks, this is 1,000 years before the cross that this man, David, is saying these things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He's saying these things, which would be uttered by my own Lord and Savior as he hung on that cross that day. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." Verse 5, "Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities." There's the very thing Jonah said. Lying vanities. "But I trust in the Lord." Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Verse 7, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy." See, if you trust in lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. And by the way, where is mercy? It's found in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. "For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." Do you think Jonah had trouble? Did he have adversity? Sure did. Verse 8, "And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, but thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Was Jonah in trouble? Yeah. "Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing." You know, I have to stop because I've been constantly comparing this to Jonah. This passage really belongs to Jesus. Who sighed while he sighed, you know, with sighing and crying? Who did that while he was here? My Savior. You remember when Lazarus died? Now, this is the other Lazarus. The friend of Jesus died. And he finally arrived after he was dead for 3 days or 4 days. And he arrived and he said, "Take me out. Where is he laid?" And they go out. And they said, "Oh, but he's been dead for 4 days. By now he stinketh." And the smallest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. And here he is right here doing that in our psalm 1,000 years before. Sighing, spent with grief. Verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among mine neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. That's his disciples. They that did see me without fled from me. Didn't they all flee when the Lord was arrested? Verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. Now, David's writing this, and some of the incidences in his life compare to this, but I'll tell you what, there's no one else that meets all this except my Savior, Jesus Christ. They counseled against him. All right, down there to verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And that's the Son to the Father. Verse 15. Many times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. When did Jesus call upon his Father? How about in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, remember? And he sweat great drops of blood in his agony. How about John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer as he talks to his Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, I'm looking forward to being back in heaven, Father. But I'm going to have to go to the cross first. And 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then rise up out and ascend back to the glory he had, which he had before. Oh boy. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. I underline that verse. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Especially for those who put their trust in thee. If you're here today and say you know you're going to heaven, raise your hand. Put it up there. Right? Okay, I'm not going to look to see who doesn't have it. Just I want you all to see. You know what? You're the people who have trusted in the Lord. Oh, how great is thy goodness. All right, verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. There's Jonah. Jonah down in the fish's belly. Oh, I'm cut off from before thee. But you hear me. He cried out. Oh boy. Verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. All ye that hope in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, if your hope is not in the Lord, you are in big trouble. You need to put your hope in the Lord. And let him have his way with you. Jason, would you come? Let's turn to 800. All the way in the back of your songbook, 800, it's 16, I believe it is. Yes, 816. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Oh, he wants to have his way with you. Why don't you let him have his way with you? If you're not saved, why don't you step out, meet me down here in the front. We'll have someone help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. If you're listening on the internet, right where you're at, right there, quietness of your home or wherever you're at in your car, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you're not saved. Let him have his way with you and he will save you. And you will, like all the rest of us, say, oh, how great is his goodness. Let's stand and sing number 816, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way.
be like Jonah and run away, or you end up with a great fish belly. Okay? Let's serve the Lord with him.
Next time we get together, we'll see what Jonah does after he gets out on dry land. What a change. What a man. What a message. And what a great grace of God in saving a city that God does. We'll look at that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the be together today. And I pray you just help us all to live for the Lord. And to realize how important our Savior is to the whole matter of salvation. He lived among us and he died for us. But he did something even greater. He rose up from the grave. And he lives. And the message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and have everlasting life. Keep us safe as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.